Father, we just welcome you this morning. We love you. Lord, without you, nothing can happen. We are just weak and selfish and proud and full of ourselves, and we are not capable of loving the way you do. But we invite you, Lord, to just remove every deception. Bring us away from all of our problems and needs. Let us lay everything down and just seek you this morning with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. Come, Holy Spirit, and just anoint your message. Anoint the receivers. Pour yourself out on us here today. In the name of Jesus, amen. I had something I was going to share, and then I got hit with something else on the way here, so I'm still kind of tossed back and forth. So, like, I'm going to mess with you first with what hit me on the way here. You know, we've been preaching, because a lot of places don't. I'm trying to get where I see every face. I'm going to keep walking until I see everybody. You know, we talk about salvation, and we talk about repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of churches don't talk about that. They just talk about, do you know you're a sinner? And would you pray this prayer and ask Jesus in your heart? So do you know you're a sinner? Do you know he died for your sin? Will you ask him in your heart? And we've taken it a step further and said, whoa, wait a minute, what is repentance? Repentance is a really wanting God, really wanting to come to God, wanting to give him your life. And then the way there is faith through Christ. Well, I'm driving along this morning, and the Lord said, I want you to think back about your salvation and about the word repentance. And I thought back. It was probably nearly, I don't know, 35 years ago or so that I got saved. I didn't know anything about Jesus at all. I didn't know what he was doing on the cross. I didn't go to church. I didn't know anything. I was 23 or something like that. My girlfriend started calling me and telling me about Jesus and how he died for me. And in my mind, I just got it. The fact that he died for me, I got it. I didn't hear anything about repentance. So I did the simple, yes, I want this Jesus. And I prayed, and he became very real, and I experienced his presence. He was just there. I loved trees. I loved people. And that's big for me because I didn't ever go outside. Loving trees was a big thing for me. You know, I'm a recluse. But I loved everybody. I loved my enemies. I loved everything. The love of God came in me. I believe he sealed me with his Holy Spirit. But I didn't know anything about repentance. And when I went to church and they started talking about repentance is turning away from all your sin, I started the struggle of trying to stop sinning, trying to stop my sin, stop the actions, quit smoking, quit this, quit everything, because that's repentance. And I couldn't do it. My life was not a success. I loved him, but I became afraid of him because I couldn't stop sinning. So I backslid and left the church. My life for the next 2.5 years was a mess. Absolute mad at God. He's got all the power, but he won't come and just make it easy for me, you know. He's just making my life hard. So I was mad at God. Then I learned about fear, you know, because as my life started falling apart, I found out what it was to try to live without God, and I got scared of the consequences. So I came back out of fear, and I decided I will be in church every service. I will read the word every day. That's what I can do, and the rest is up to him. He took the smoking away because I couldn't quit. I conquered some actions of sin because I was more afraid not to obey than I was to obey because I had found out what it was like to run into the devil out there on your own, you know. But I struggled. I struggled and struggled in my life. And then I kept asking God, what about this word repentance? And he brought me to a place where it was just almost like getting saved all over again. He brought me to a place of not looking at the actions of my life, but looking inside my heart and finding selfishness and pride and the inability to really love. And I saw what was in my part that I could not change, and I hated it. I wanted it gone. It wasn't fear. It was an absolute hatred of selfishness and pride. And I really wanted it gone, but I couldn't do anything about it. It just was true. This is who I am. I called Joy Bassett one night when I was in that condition, and I said, I am trying to repent, and I can't. I see what's in my heart, but I can't stop it or change it. She said, well, that is repentance. Now you just come to God and say, I see what I am. I see all this in my heart, and I can't do anything about it. Please change me. I don't want that. I want to be like you. I want you. You know, John 17 says, eternal life is to know God, to experience Him, to walk in a relationship of intimacy with Him, to know Him in all of His beauty and holiness and goodness. That's eternal life. Jesus came to deliver us from sin, to save us out of our iniquities, not just excuse them. But it's impossible for us to do that. The thing that hit me was, that's when my life really began to change, really began to have victory and change, when I really had a deep and true repentance of what was in me, not just what I do, why I do it. That's when my life really began to change. And God said this morning, I didn't say it's necessarily in the order of repent fully first and then faith in Christ. There's a process in repentance. And when it says work out your salvation with fear and trembling, I think that's part of what that means. I think when I said, yes, I choose Jesus, yes, I choose God, I believe Christ came, I was sealed with the Holy Spirit. But it was years later when I really dealt with true repentance. And eternal life is both a true and deep and thorough repentance and a complete resting of faith on Christ. And you may not get the fullness of that depth of repentance first. I didn't know that till this morning. I didn't think about it till this morning. I got enough repentance just to want God and a full faith in Christ. Years later, I got a deep and full repentance that really changed my life. Remember, I was telling everybody, I think I just really got saved. Now, I don't know how I met Him and knew Him. Maybe He's just given me tastes of who He is. But now everything is different. Well, when the faith, the full faith in Christ was really there, no more struggling. Am I really saved or not saved? If I'm really saved, why do I do this? Why do I think that? Am I really saved or not saved? You're still resting on you and what you're doing. You don't have a full faith. Full faith is it depends entirely on Him, completely on Him. That's enough, no matter what I do. I have completely put all my faith in what Christ did. His blood is my payment into heaven. It's done. It rests on what happened 2,000 years ago. It doesn't rest on what I'm doing today. There's the full faith. But the full repentance has to go beyond what you're doing, down into who you are, who you've become. Now, who you really, really are is who God created you to be. But that's transformation. Restoration takes you back to the, in the womb, who God created you to be, the day you arrived here on earth. It takes you to restore you to the way you were born. But transformation turns you into who He created you to be. Right. Now in restoration, before restoration even comes, we're born in sin. So when we first start looking in our heart and we find selfishness and pride, because that's how we've lived our whole life. And pride has made us deny our very sin nature. Because pride says, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. Well, I did these good things over here. We keep putting ourselves in the balance of good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. Is my good outweighing my bad? Who am I really? I did those bad things, but that's not really me. I'm really good. But the Lord says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none good. Jesus said, why do you call me good master? Do you know there's no one good but God? We aren't good. We're not good. We're bad. We were born bad. And we behave bad because at the heart of who we are is selfishness and pride. selfishness and pride, lying, hatred. It's all there inside of our heart. And we've acted on it our whole life. So repentance is seeing that defiled, sinful heart and saying, woe is me. I don't want to be this. This is not what I want. I want God to create in me a new heart. He said he would give me a new heart. Well, see, when he brings that new heart, then we began to change. Then we began to have this relationship with God who is all good and love and pure, unselfish, humble. We began to have this relationship, and we are transformed as we behold him into what he created us to be. Because he created us and he's transforming us into that person. So what I realized this morning is that true faith and true repentance may not happen in that order. Therefore, we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Maybe you saw Jesus on that cross and said, oh yeah, I love him, I want him. But maybe you never really repented yet. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Where are you really at on that road? Have you really repented? Are you still making excuses for what you do? Justifying it. Are you still praising yourself for what you don't do? Your good actions? Are you still trying to keep apologizing for what you do instead of what you are? I am still selfish and proud. Not as selfish and proud as I used to be, because within this big selfish, proud heart, I think he's gotten about half of it, maybe. Maybe that's proud to think he got half of it. Because there's a whole lot of pride and selfishness that just automatically jumps up. Because within us is the old nature and the new nature battling for who gets to run your life. Battling and battling and battling. And the reason that the old nature wins so much is because we're so wounded. Because the devil comes along through people and life situations to beat us up, wound us, hurt us, and make us go into fear and hiding and excusing and anger and rebellion and control. And believe me, if you've got a controlling spirit, you also have the one that says, I'm controlling you, but it also says, you aren't controlling me. Both. As soon as somebody tells you, go do this, you go, who do you think you are? You can't tell me what to do. That's an evil spirit. Does it mean you should obey everybody? No. It means you should stand right where Jesus wants you to stand. Whether somebody's ordering you or asking you shouldn't matter. Does he want you to do it? Obedience to him. So all these things that are inside of our heart, seeing them as God sees them and wanting them gone, there's real repentance. Deception. Absolute. Until we meet Jesus, we are completely blind. But we're blind in a lot of areas even after we meet him. One thing by one thing by one thing, he takes away the blinders. If we face the truth will set us free. I painted a picture for my grandson. It's a jungle. This is just a little tiny copy. It was this big to go on the back of a giant snake tank. He had this huge snake, and he wanted a background for it, so I painted him a jungle. But God said to take the opportunity to give him something from the Lord. And this morning he told me, if you want to see that later, you can. This morning he told me to share the word that went with that jungle painting with you. So you are being invited into God's jungle this morning, and that is the word, God's jungle. Everyone and everything that's alive reflects God. The jungle is a special, hidden manifestation of God. The mysteries of life are inviting, and yet they're threatening. The fear of the unknown warns us not to enter this place unprepared. Predators lurk in the darkness. There's a parallel adventure. It's one part of this adventure we know is going to take us deeper into the spirit realm with God. If we choose this adventure, we also know we have to endure great preparedness and be armed and ready to face the many attacks of the enemy. See, the jungle is actually you. God wants to go deeper inside of you. and you have to face a lot of truths. The predators in your jungle, you put them there, not God. The fear and the pride and the anger and the woundedness and the bitterness and all those things, deceptions, you allowed them to come into that jungle. God wants to take you there to face them so that you can conquer them and become an overcomer. So why then would we risk this life-threatening adventure? Why not stay comfortably in the safety of our familiar surroundings? We could just do church as usual. We could rest in the traditional, normal religion. Many, in fact, and most Christians, in fact, will do that. But there are some who aren't content to do that. The spiritual jungle is too alluring to resist. It calls them like the call of the wild. It challenges the soul to seek its satisfaction. The jungle invitation is to those who are not content with normal Christianity. These few are the explorers, the adventurers, the bold God seekers. These are the ones who hunger for more. They just have to know what lies beyond the regular, the normal, the complacency of the average lifestyle in church. In the spiritual arena awaits a twisting, alluring jungle of a hidden life. Deep within the darkness of the unknown are the colorful revelations of God. There are succulent fruits that we have never tasted. They're not offered on the tasteless menu of mere religion. There's creatures so strange that it arouses our curiosity as to why God ever made them and then hid them in this private place. What do they represent? Why do they even exist? What was God thinking when he designed them? Hidden deep beyond the surface are truths that God desires to share with us if we really want to know. There are fountains of living waters to refresh us. There are springs of healing waters we can bathe in and find our youth again. But beyond all of that is the real goal and the purpose of our travel through this mysterious place. There is a place where we find a deeper presence of God himself, and there we find out who we are in him and what we were created to do. We find the fulfillment of a real life. In God's manifest presence, we find our hidden treasures. We find all that we've been seeking for, everything we'll ever need to be fulfilled, which is God himself. He's the reward of this treasure hunt. He's the greatest prize. This invitation is to all, but very few will accept. Even of those who do begin the adventure, many turn back. There are vast reasons, many excuses, to quit and return to your safety. Because you see, the trials will reveal any secret agendas, hidden motives. They'll expose every sin and all that is not of God. Scabs will be removed from your wounds, bandages discarded so that true healing can come. Every emotion will be stirred within you. Unforgiveness will have to be dealt with. All of these things, they're like burdens in a backpack that must be shed in order to approach the holiness of God. Warning, the spiritual jungle is not only going to threaten your life, it will absolutely demand that you die. That is, you must die to your flesh in order to find true life in the Spirit. And only as you allow the Holy Spirit to abide in you will you be able to battle the foes of darkness that prevail against you. God gave me a vision that day of one man's experience in that jungle. Some of you have had experiences already because you've already been willing to go to these deeper places with the Lord. But this was the vision he gave me that day, and I think it was to show you how awesome it can be to let God really take you there. Just beyond the waters, I saw a path that opened to Eagle Rock. The Holy Spirit met this adventurer and escorted him to the peak. There, at the height of the secret mountain, angels lifted him into the open air. He soared in victory, knowing he had conquered his jungle. He flew above circumstances of the hard times in his life. He looked down at tiny, defeated enemies. As he glided through the air in freedom, he received new insight and understanding of everything he had gone through. The angels led this man through an intense blue sky to a special cloud. It appeared to shape itself like a fluffy white mansion. The billows rolled back to a double door entrance. As he came closer, he could see a treasure chest inside. The lead was covered with diamond dust, and gems adorned the face of the box. One angel handed him a golden key with a ruby on it. He placed it in the lock, and before he could even turn it, the lead flew open, and bright, glowing lights filled the sky. The glorious presence of God penetrated him and nearly blinded his eyes. He covered his face, and he fell to the ground. In an instant, there were emotions, revelations, wonders impacting every part of his being all at one time. It was as if he were receiving knowledge of an eternal event or truth that would take years to fulfill, yet it was understood in one moment of revelation. A mixture of emotional responses occurred as his heart danced with joy, but his eyes filled with tears of grief. Laughter and weeping joined in celebration and in sorrow. In his mind, there was an open knowledge of truths accompanied with wisdom that he had never imagined possible. Instructions were immediately understood. What was happening was completely impossible and possible, impossible to accurately describe. He was left speechless and amazed. He humbly crumbled on the ground with his hands over his eyes to filter the bright lights. All he could do was weep and weep in the presence of his God. I didn't know, were the only remaining thoughts in his mind, and they could not even find utterance through his trembling lips. Then the Lord spoke. His voice was like a gentle flowing stream. This was only a small glimpse into eternity. I would love to show you more, but you couldn't contain it yet. The voice of God felt like a warm water being poured over his head, flowing down through his body very, very slowly until it reached every toe. Peace calmed his trembling bones, and he was able to relax. Though the seeker never moved or looked up physically, he felt himself being lifted into the arms of God. As the Lord embraced him, the man could feel the thrusting of God's heartbeat against his own chest. He could hear the pounding rhythm in his ear as he cuddled closer. Each beat surged life and energy back into his weakened body. Then he felt the big, gentle fingers of God gently touch his face. It was like tiny injections of love entering through the skin. His heart filled with little flutters at each touch. The man had never experienced such an overwhelming love. It was indescribable, having nothing to compare this feeling to. There was an unexplainable power in God's love that generated healing in every cell of his body. Then a cleansing electricity raced through his mind, and thoughts of purity and holiness claimed residence. Any remaining evil thoughts began to exit. They were like tiny black images, smaller than fleas, flew out of his left ear to escape the presence of holiness. He wasn't even aware that he had had these thoughts, that they still existed, because he had already been through so much repentance traveling through the jungle. Suddenly, the Lord tilted his head to the sky, black locks of hair flung back in the breeze, and God released a shout of thunder. Actually, his hair changes color every time I try to remember this. Once it's black, then it's blonde, then it's brown, which reminds me of his eyes. When I see them, they seem to contain every color at the same time. As his voice roared, it induced an earthquake-type feeling in the man. His body jolted and his blood was stirred, as if to feel the waters of an ocean in a violent storm rising up within. Waves rolled and roared internally. God had shouted one word, purity. The Lord looked down at the frail human and said, there shall be no mixture. God spoke more to the man, but I was not allowed to know what he told him. It was his private revelation. I also never knew what the man saw in that eternal glimpse. That too was only for him. I do know that this one explorer of God's jungle found his hidden treasure. If you accept the invitation to go deeper into the presence of God, I imagine your visit will be quite different. It will be uniquely designed for you. I'm sure there will be many trials, but there will be amazing treasures for you alone to discover. I hope the vision I shared with you will serve to encourage you to begin your own adventure. Do you hear the call of God inviting you to come closer? I hope so. And maybe we will meet along the path. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the works of his law. Daniel 2:22. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. Isaiah 45:21. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, that calls you by your name, am the God of Israel. Isaiah 45:2, because the next was the I for I will. It wasn't a one. 45:2. God gave me that verse shortly after I had that deeper repentance experience. I had no idea what that verse meant. But I have been on these kind of adventures so many times, so many places, in the woods, in the river, in the mountains. I don't mean on the mountain, I mean in it, right through the rocks. I have been on these adventures with God. And on these adventures with God, there's been so many hidden treasures, so many revelations, so much wisdom, so much healing, so much deliverance. When he said that he would open the gates, he would break in pieces the gates of brass, that is to let you out of your prison. He cuts asunder the bars of iron. You see, you're in a prison. You are jailed in a prison of lies and deception and pain and restriction and self-protection and pride and selfishness and all these things. It's imprisoned you. And God said he will break those bars. He will cut those bars. And then after he cuts those bars, he's going to shatter the gates to let you out of that place. And then he'll shatter other gates. He'll open other gates to let you in to new places. God wants to take you there. He wants to take you to your designed destiny, your purpose. He wants to take you to his very presence. And he wants to give you treasures of darkness. But they're hidden in the secret place. They're hidden in the secret place. How do you go there? Just tell him you want to go. Accept the invitation. It may happen today. It may not happen today. I find that I decide, God, I'm going there with you. You know, that's it. I'm in my room. Shut the whole world out. Turn on my music. I am here and I'm staying here and I'm worshiping and I'm praising and I'm begging. Take me there. Take me there. Take me there. I want to get everything out of my life. I want to come closer. I want your revelations. And I go, nothing happened. Absolutely nothing. And then there's another time. I'm just driving down the road. Bam! It happens. So you invite him. You tell him, I accept your invitation. Search me, God. Take me to face everything. Take me deeper. Remove the lies. Remove the deceptions. You know, when I first got saved, I was very wounded. I was very wounded. But I served him anyway. I didn't serve him as freely as I can serve him today because I didn't have the healing. I didn't trust anyone. I was afraid of people. And you know what? They just backstab you, wound you, let you down, disappoint you. It's going to happen. It's going to keep happening your whole life. Everyone you know is going to let you down and hurt you because we're sinners and that's what we do. We don't mean to. Sometimes we do mean to. But even when we don't mean to, we're going to do it. If that's going to stop you, then you might as well go home.
Yep.
Because you have to do it because you love him. Because you trust him, because he loves you. And if you don't know his love, then you're not willing to face anything. So he wants, in the beginning when you start these going in these places, all he does is love, 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 pour on the love, you know. You've got to melt those cement blocks off your feet so you can start to walk. When you start to walk, then he can show you more of these things because you know he loves you. You know you can trust him. So if you're in a place where you're not getting love poured on you, you're running into those twisty vines in the jungle and they feel like they're wrapped around you, choking your life. It's because he's trusting you to be able to face some things that are choking your life. because you know he loves you.
Right.
But right beyond every dark moment is another bright moment.
Oh, yes.
Because he never gives us more than we can endure. And it's all for our good. It's right. All to set us free. I have that CD at home about there's not very many overcomers. But to those who overcome, he gives to sit on his throne with him. You can't be an overcomer unless you have something to overcome.
Oh, yeah.
So when he puts something in the path of your jungle to overcome, don't try to get around it. Don't try to dig a hole under it. Don't try to go over it. You got to go through it. When I was a kindergarten teacher, we had a song, "We're going on a bear hunt." That I'll do this, you know, we're walking a hairy, scary bear hunt. You can't, and you come to things like, I came to a tree, you know, I can't go around it, I can't go under it, can't go over it, I gotta go through it. Well, you can't go around these obstacles, because everywhere you turn, he goes, trying to escape, huh? And you'll just move another similar obstacle, and you're just defeating yourself. You gotta climb over these obstacles to be an overcomer, but you can't climb over them, except you depend on him. Except you depend on him. But as long as you try to avoid it, you're not getting out of it.
That's right.
Scott?
Psalms 107 is pretty much a lot about this.
Coming over here so it can be heard.
Here in 16 it talks about, for he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. It's after we fall, he comes and rescues us. We fall, he comes and rescues us. We fall, he comes. He just keeps doing it through the whole 107.
Right.
So,
and that's a continual walk that he keeps doing it. But he also takes us back to where we did fall to walk us through that, out of it too.
Very true.
Yeah. He cuts them all those bars and prisons. And so we're going to soak. Some of you like to soak, some of you don't. Sometimes I have a hard time with public soaking sometimes. So just read. Just read, just pray. If you don't get into the music, write your own. Write your own worship words. Write what you're... Don't, instead of sitting there going, oh, how come you're not touching me? How come I'm not getting in a jungle? How come I'm not having a vision? How come I'm not getting love poured in me? Stop whining and just write what you're feeling. God, I really want to have a vision. God, I really want to go deeper. God, I really need you to heal me. God, I don't even feel like singing. God, I'm in a rotten, horrible mood and I need you to forgive me. Write what's going on in you and start talking to him. Get real. Just get real with him. You don't have to pretend you're soaking. Get real. Write down all your complaints and then confess them as sin and then you can get over it.
And eat your peas.
Huh? And eat your peas. So now the women were getting hit in the women's meeting and I wasn't. And I was doing the whiny baby thing. How come all the women are getting into worship tonight and I can't get into it? I'm just sitting here, you know, and I'm whining, why not me, God? You know, and he said, eat your peas. I'm being nourished by something I'm going through right now. That's nourishing peas. It's not ice cream, cake, and candy. It's peas. And he said, eat your peas. Then I went to a garage sale, and I found this little book that says, eat your peas. I go, that's for me. I bought that book, snatched it up, and I opened it up, and it says things about how deeply I love you. And so, during my peace, he's also telling me how he loves me through that little book. Patty's going, or no, the song is going, oh, his eyes, his beautiful eyes. I'm going, I don't see your eyes. I see a smiley face made out of pea smiles with pea eyes. through much of the time in Toronto when the river move was going on and people are holy laughter, falling on the floor, oh, God's pouring out on me, and I've just been healed of everything, and do you smell that smell? And, you know, all these awesome, wonderful things are happening, and sometimes I got some of it, but a lot of times I didn't. And, you know, the leader in Toronto never had any manifestations at all. Neither did the worship director. None. God said, stand strong, watch over the people, and keep them safe. They got none of that. So a lot of times, God isn't hitting you because he's having you be strong and watch over people and keep them safe. Sometimes he's just doing a different work in you, but it doesn't mean he doesn't love you equally. So tell him that you just want him to do whatever needs to be done in you to take you further. Thank you, Jesus. Please come and do whatever you will. I'm going to be an overcomer, Lord. I'm going to be an overcomer because I'm going to accept whatever you put in front of me and let you overcome it. I'm not going to run away from it because I don't want to be left out. I don't want to be one of the many. I want to be one of the few. Thank you, Jesus.